This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
We have a long way to go to ensure that our health services are designed and effective and safe and accessible for the LGBTI community.
That was Victoria's Health Minister Jill Hennessy. Today, the Victorian government launched a new resource that might go some of the way to helping out with the issues and challenges of LGBTI health. Well, we've known for quite some time that LGBTI communities have challenging health outcomes for multiple reasons, not the least of which is mainstream providers not understanding LGBTI communities and their needs. Well, a new Rainbow Equality resource outlining the standards that should be met by our health providers was launched today. Victoria's Health Minister Jill Hennessy opens our report.
I certainly know that amongst our health services, amongst our public health services, that we have a long way to go to ensure that our health services are designed and effective and safe and accessible for the LGBTI community and for people, and to ensure that gender identity is actually a really significant issue and a design principle around how we design health services, how it is that when we think about lifting the capability of our workforce, that we actually now have something to help guide us. And I'm certainly very, very happy to provide you with the undertaking and assurance that we will help continue to drive this as a dynamic tool for service provision. And to acknowledge that we still have a long way to go, but I've got every confidence that with the work plan and a willingness to constantly learn and to constantly be open to disconfirming experience as well, I think is really, really critical that we will be able to start to get in mainstream health services a new approach. So this is an incredibly important moment, I think. I don't actually think this is low-hanging fruit, because let me tell you, turning around the health system, it's like turning around the Queen Mary, let me tell you.
That was Victoria's Health Minister Jill Hennessy. We then heard from Marianne Thomas, Member for Macedon, who is the Parliamentary Secretary for Health.
The important thing about Rainbow Equality is that it is a live resource. So gone are the days where you print something and you know, lies around in the offices of GPs or health clinics or hospitals. But this is live. It can be updated. We can ensure that it contains best practice at all times. And we've done some work, which I'm really pleased, on our communication strategy to ensure that the equality guide is spread near and far. And then what we are doing, this is a guide, let's remember, to lift and grow the understanding of mainstream health services of the LGBTI health issues.
Marianne Thomas, MP. After the official proceedings, I spoke to the Equality Minister and Minister for Mental Health, Martin Foley. I began by congratulating him on yet another positive outcome for the Equality portfolio.
I'd love to claim credit for myself in this, but I must give credit to Ruth McNair and to the Health and Human Services Working Group for the LGBTI Task Force that has done the work. An online real-time resource that can take to health and human services providers real quality information about making access to services for LGBTI Victorians accessible, up-to-date, and plenty more to do.
How do we get them to use this resource?
Well, part of the work that the Ruth and her crew are doing is to market this. We need to make sure that through the significant resources that the Department of Health and Human Services have, both through their links through the health and GP practitioners, as well as the community health network, as well as all the other normal means of social media, web-based communications, and community advocacy. There's a bit of a rollout plan that the working group has. That will be rolled out, then assessed as to how effective it is, and I'm sure it will be a bit of a dynamic process.
There's been some real horror stories over the years of LGBTI people going to just their local GP, and some of the outcomes of those meetings. I hope that this will go some way to alleviate some of those dramas.
Indeed, and it would be great to think that they were ancient history. They're not. They're still happening in community after community, not just in remote and regional Victoria or Australia. Every day, in every suburb, LGBTI people face an appalling lack of awareness, an appalling lack of empathy about the particular issues that they bring to Health and Human Services. And we hope that not just will this be a resource for Health and Human Services practitioners, but it will increasingly be a tool that LGBTI Victorians can assert with their providers as to a tool that they need to be engaged with.
Do we have any evidence that there is issues culturally between certain practitioners and the LGBTI community, and that getting in the way of treatment and care?
Well, when you talk to the experts in the field, apparently that is the case. And that's why small but significant programs that we've got, particularly with college practitioners and those professional bodies, that we need to see the cultural practices of professionals change. The world has changed. Equality is not negotiable in Victoria, and we need to make sure that it's not just negotiable, but it's accessible. And that's what this equality process and the website we're launching today is about: accessibility and cultural change.
How is this health initiative going to integrate into your mental health portfolio?
One of the areas that the work plan have for the LGBTI Health and Human Services work group is to align their work with our 10-year mental health strategy, which falls under our mental health platform and my portfolio responsibilities. We've got Brenda Appleton as a member of that expert reference group, together with a range of other people who are making sure that in all the wider mental health reforms that we're rolling out, be that acute services, community services, suicide prevention services, focus on elderly, focus on youth, focus on particular communities, that there is an LGBTI lens to all of that work. And I would like to think that this resource can play a part of delivering that message as well, and set a benchmark for what mental health provision of services needs to also be supportive of LGBTI Victorians.
For far too long, these have been individual silos. It'll be better when they're, I guess, integrated in a way that delivers those outcomes.
The whole rationale behind bringing together the Department of Health and Human Services is to achieve that integration, not just in mental health and, if you like, primary health provision, but human services and community services more generally. We will only be successful if ultimately we can break down those divisions between the siloed approach of not just government, but service delivery. The health sector is notorious, can I say, for that defending some of those historical demarcations. Technology like this will disrupt that, but technology is not enough. It's got to be backed up with practice change and cultural change, and can I say, assertive use of rights and advocacy by LGBTI people to make sure that armed with these tools, they can demand these changes from their practitioners, whether it be in community health, mental health, housing, aged care, you name it. There's a lot of work to do, and we hope that this is an important contribution to that process of reform.
Minister for Mental Health and Equality, Martin Foley, thank you very much for joining us on The Informer.
Thank you very much, Dean.
Dr. Ruth McNair is co-author of this new resource. Ruth, how is this going to integrate into the rainbow tick that we see bandied around?
Yeah, well, at the beginning of the resource, there's a whole set of standards which come from the rainbow tick. So it's exactly the same. What we've done with it is just give very brief ideas of what a service should be for each individual subgroup, like LGBTI. And also what individual services could be doing, such as mental health, general practice, community health, etc. Yeah, they basically just get a snapshot of what the rainbow tick might look like.
Which is a very complex process, I believe. How comprehensive is this? I know it's a live resource, which means it will continue to evolve, but has it got everything from surrogacy and IVF right through?
Yep, so it's got every health issue that we think exists at the moment. There may well be more, and we're willing to add. We want feedback on it as well. So, yeah, we've enhanced it in terms of family violence because of all the recent Royal Commission outcomes. We've got youth justice in there. We've got, maternal and child health. So it's hopefully as comprehensive as we could get at the moment, but brief in each section.
You produced a resource in 2009, which was a print edition. What are the major changes between what you did then and what we're now experiencing?
Yeah, well, it is a lot of the content started out the same, but we've enhanced it with better resources, new support groups, updated websites, etc. But also we've enhanced the content around different things that have emerged recently. So disability is better represented now, multiculturalism, multi-faith is better represented, and much more detailed understanding of it. So the intersections, I suppose, might be a good way to look at it. Have you been enhanced a lot?
The two questions that came to my mind that I've been throwing around today have been the intersection between multiculturalism and LGBTI health and how that impacts, and how that gets in the way, perhaps. Will this resource assist in breaking down some of those barriers?
A little bit. I mean, it's trying to give health providers who don't have much of a clue the basics. And so it does introduce them to the idea that people have multiple identities, that sometimes they conflict in themselves, and that they need to understand how that's impacting on health. So, you know, yes, they'll get an idea of it. It won't be in depth at all. So hopefully it will be just tweaking their understanding of what they could know more and better. It gives them a lot of resources that they, if they're interested, could go into and read more. But also I hope it gives them the language that they could use to start talking with people in more depth rather than glossing over the issue.
The other big, thing that gets in the way of this success of this is its promotion. How do we get it out there?
Yeah, well, I think the Department of Health and Human Services have that under wraps because they're going to get it all through the government-funded services, through the usual email channels and newsletters and so on. And because it's a web link, hopefully it will be easy for people to access. But we're also going to go through all the LGBTI health services so that they're very aware and can start educating up their affiliates and, you know, get patients to introduce it to their own GPs and to their own health providers. So, you know, there's going to be multiple dissemination strategies.
So a bit of this is some push marketing from our community to the services, yeah?
Yeah, and I think, you know, hopefully that will be helpful because I know a lot of LGBTI people want to get their provider up to speed, but don't quite know where to point them, which direction. So hopefully this will be a quick link they can provide.
And all too often, as I'm sure you're aware, we hear horror stories of people going to their GP and getting some pretty appalling treatment.
Yeah, I'm the last person to say people have to advocate for themselves. I don't think that's fair, by and large, because we go to a health service because we're feeling vulnerable. But some LGBTI people will feel strong enough to do that and advocate for themselves and for their colleagues, and great if they can. But, I mean, the best dissemination strategy will be through the major colleges, the AMA, the College of GPs, the College of Midwives, etc. So we're going to really target them, I think, and try to get it out there through those mainstream service avenues, as well as through the LGBTI services. So, yeah, it'll be widespread, I hope.
Well, thanks again for the tremendous work you do for the community, and thanks for putting together this amazing resource.
All right, thanks, Dean.
The CEO of Vic Health, Gerald Richter, was present at the proceedings, and I wondered how Vic Health were going to get this resource out amongst those who need it.
I think that's a really fantastic question, and what Vic Health does incredibly well is get tools and resources out to people where they need them. And certainly we have a reach across the state that even though we're part of government as a statutory agency, we have a bit of a different voice and a trusted voice out there in the community with people that don't necessarily fall into those what you would consider mainstream, you know, buckets. So our reach is broad, our reach is far, and we can also, I think, work incredibly well with those organisations that aren't necessarily the health organisations, but the ones where community awareness about some of the issues that are facing the community need to be raised. Things like sporting organisations, arts organisations, and also particularly in rural and regional communities.
You do a lot of work in the multicultural area as well, and in culturally and linguistically diverse sectors. There are often cultural differences that get in the way of good healthcare and good health outcomes. Is this going to assist in changing some of those attitudes? kids, do you think?
Well, we really hope so. I mean, it's an incredibly important tool and resource. It is a step in the right direction. And I think very much now it's about how you make it live as a resource. It might not be 100% perfect. I don't think any of these live resources are. And so to make sure that everybody that's able to use it and access it, whether that's from a community, from LGBTI, or whether, as you said, is from diverse communities, newly arrived communities, again, you know, rural and regional Victoria, how can we make sure that it's a resource that is a living document that they can use? And certainly for us, you know, our role is very much to promote good health and prevent ill health. And a tool like this is really going to help us achieve our vision of more Victorians with better health and well-being. And we know certainly that the LGBTI community suffers particularly from poor mental well-being. And if this is part of the suite of resources that can help practitioners but also help the community know where they can go to get access and support, that is just the best thing, and we'll do everything we can to help promote it.
Thank you so much for joining us on The Informer.
Excellent, thank you.
Simon Ruth is the CEO of Victorian AIDS Council. Simon, we know that 50% of HIV diagnoses in this state are done by your local GP. How is this resource going to help those people? Because we have heard horror stories of people getting diagnoses that just aren't delivered correctly.
Yes, 50% of diagnoses occur outside of the larger clinics that we have in the city, the four or five larger clinics. So a resource like this is incredibly important for healthcare workers and human services workers across the state who aren't fortunate enough to work in GLBTI accredited or community controlled organisations, and it gives them the opportunity to have a go-to place where they can get the information that they need to be able to provide a better service and a more culturally safe and appropriate service. It's not just about GPs. This is a resource that's been created for child protection workers, for psych nurses, for community health counsellors. It's the largest workforce in the state if you put together the health and human services workforce. And so everyone from your local disability worker through to a flying doctor, this is a fantastic resource for them to learn how to work better with our communities and understand the issues that our communities face so that they know how to provide an appropriate service.
I spoke to the Minister for Equality regarding cultural differences getting in the way of the delivery of health and care, and he acknowledged that sadly there are those differences. Have you experienced that in your work?
Certainly. You know, my background's in healthcare, and prior to coming to VAC, I worked for one of the large hospitals, and it's certainly for a lesbian couple coming in for, you know, women's health issues, or a transgender person coming into a hospital and wanting appropriate care and wanting a hospital who, a doctor who understands what the intricacies of trans health might mean and what they need to look for. A resource like this will point them in that direction and ensure that people get better health care. I think a lot of people think the LGBTI communities are one community and they don't quite understand. There is great variation in the health and support needs of our communities, and this resource will help, you know, clarify some of those issues.
VAC has led the way in opening a trans clinic specifically for those trans members of our community, but surely in a perfect world we wouldn't need that.
I think there's always going to be a need for specialist clinics, particularly for minority groups. There's certain areas of healthcare with LGBTI communities where people still feel safer coming to their own community for certain parts of their healthcare, but there's a definite need for mainstream services to get better at working with LGBTI communities. You know, when we're never going to run our own surgical units, we're never going to run our own emergency departments, we're never going to run the big scale health services that exist across the rest of the community, and so it's important that those services have access to this information as well, particularly in rural and regional areas when getting into South Yarra or Carlton isn't an option for a lot of people across the state, and they don't get access to specialist services like we offer and like some of the others offer. So this is a great opportunity for people to learn about how to work with our communities.
Do you see this resource as making a difference?
I think this resource is an important step in the right direction. It's one of a range of activities that are going to need to occur over the coming years, and this government has certainly invested in ensuring that LGBTI communities get, you know, more opportunities and get a better service across all areas of government. This is one, you know, piece of the jigsaw, and it will certainly help move us there.
Simon Ruth, thanks for joining us on The Informer tonight.
Thank you, Dean.
And if you would like to have a look at the Rainbow Equality resource produced by the Health Department, perhaps if you've had a poor experience with your health professional, you might like to refer them too, the Rainbow Equality resource. It is available at health.vic.gov.au/rainbow equality. That's health.vic.gov.au/rainbow equality. Excuse me. Now, we can only bring you The Informer if you sign up and become a member of Joy. It is Joy's Radiothon, so please sign up online at joy.org.au or give us a call 1300-JOY-949 and become a member of this fine station today and keep The Informer on air. Time now to head to London. Bobby Ray from Pink News Media joins us. Bobby Ray, welcome.
Hello, nice to meet
you. Now, Bobby, according to a survey done here, open relationships have replaced monogamous ones. Could have told you that.
Yes, it seems to be the way it's going. It was the Melbourne Gay Community Periodic Survey. It's been done for the last few years. Right across Victoria, and it's found for the first time that more men are in open relationships than are in monogamous ones. So it's saying around about 31% of people they surveyed said that their relationship is open, which compared to just under 30% who said that it was monogamous. So slightly more, but it's the first time it's actually crept open and open relationships have taken a lead.
Either that or more men are prepared to reveal that they're in an open relationship.
Yeah, I mean, very much so. I think, as well, they've said that now almost half of gay men in the survey were using things like Grindr and mobile apps. So I think the sense that people are a lot more open about these things has definitely came true.
Now, New York has a new drag king.
They do. I think there's nothing this woman cannot do. But Meryl Streep, I think, weighed into the US presidential election this week by dragging up Donald Trump. There's photos flying all over Twitter. So stuffed the belly, long red tie, signature blue suit that Trump wears. I think she maybe pulled the tan off better than what he did as well. It was all part of the Shakespeare gala that was taking place in New York this week.
Well, I'd like to see that, or maybe I wouldn't. Anyway, one country is turning their attention to their national anthem to make it gender neutral.
Yeah, this is a vote that's recently just passed in Canada. So it was a free vote by all MPs to make it. There was one line in Old Canada that said it refers to men. They've now passed a resolution in the House of Commons there to make it gender neutral. And it was actually something that was supported by a number of different parties, including the lovable PM Justin Trudeau as well.
Yes, he's a bit of a hit worldwide, I think, that man.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Speaking of worldwide hits, a group has got together after some 30 years of not being in the same room.
Yeah, I think for our community, this is something that's very exciting, and it was certainly this for me. But ABBA have reunited at a private concert in Stockholm. It was believed to be a private party, undisclosed who for, but the group joined together to sing some of their hits. Now, unfortunately, there's only photos that seem to emerge. There's no video footage of what they actually sang, but it has been confirmed that they did rarely reunite for this private party.
And rumours of Zemmerfreim's being present was not true. Now, finally, in our Pink News Roundup, AbFab's Patsy is indeed transgender.
She is. It's been confirmed by Joanna Lumley, obviously, who plays the character that Patsy Stone is transgender. She announced it, obviously, in an interview for the upcoming film. And said that although it's been rumoured for a number of years, she's happy to confirm that it is actually the case.
I tell you what, there's a lot of hype about this film. It better be good.
Yeah, I hope it's good. I've got a lot riding on it. It better be good.
Senior multi-platform journalist for Pink News Media Group, Bobby Ray, thank you so much for joining us on The Informer tonight.
Thank you. See you later.
That's it from me, Dean Beck. You can follow me at Dean Beck on Air on Twitter. Follow The Informer Joy at Twitter too. And don't forget, sign up and become a member of Joy 94.9, just like Johnny from Thornbury has. Thank you very much for doing that, Johnny. And coming up next, we have Unicorn Youth, but before that, Gary Wilson with Joy News. But been great to be with you today. Check out that rainbow resource, the Rainbow Equality Guide at Vic Health. No, it's not. It's health.vic.gov.au/rainbow equality. Till next time, keep well, take care, and bye for now.
Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.